Who is this church for? It's a question, I guess, every fellowship, every congregation on the face of the planet can ask. Who is this church for? We can ask it tonight, and they can ask it in Inverenit, and they can ask it down the road in the Church of Scotland, or in the Free Presbyterian Church. Who is this church for? So we read in Romans 15, just read again, and the beginning of this chapter. We who are strong, and the context there, as I said, is these are the people who understand that in Jesus, the Lord rules the earth, and it doesn't really matter what you eat, it's all the same. Nothing makes you unclean just by eating it. As Jesus said himself, the things that make you unclean are the things that you do wrong, that come out of your heart. Those who understand this and can go around eating, whether it's been sacrificed to an idol or whether it's unclean according to Jewish law or whatever, those who know they can eat anything because it's just food, have to bear with the failings. The word there's perhaps not so much a word about failings, the words of weaknesses of the weak. In other words, it's not sort of judging the weak, it's not saying to them that it's terrible that you don't understand that you can eat anything. I'm not saying that, it's just like they have a tender conscience still and they need to be nurtured. So look after them, don't hurt them. So we are strong, ought to bear with the failings of the weak, the weaknesses of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbour for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it's written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. So, we're not to please ourselves, but to please our neighbours. That's a basic thing that is good for us to take with us tonight, and take with us in the context of a fellowship, a congregation. So let's imagine that I had a microphone and I went and put it in front of some of you and I said to you, who's this church for? Wonder what you'd say. Sure, you'd have the right answer, but you'd have different answers perhaps. Who is this church for? If I went outside and found a tourist standing in the pouring rain and stuck a microphone in front of him and her, said, see that church up the road, who's it for? Wonder what they'd say. Or maybe one of the tourists we often get in the church. If I was to put the microphone in front of them and say, you've come here today, who is this church for? What would they say? What about if I went down the road to the Church of Scotland congregation in the morning as they were coming out from church and I said to them, who's that church up the road for? What would they say? And what about people in the community here? People in Kyle Terrace, we went up Kyle Terrace, is that church just at the bottom of the terrace? Who's it for? You get lots of different answers, and some of them would be right, some of them would be wrong. I'm certain of that. That some would be right and some would be wrong. So, where do we want to stick our microphone to get the right answer? Well, we don't stick it in front of her, I never understand that about, it's a little digression as you can see. I never understand this about reporters and news channels, they have these big weighty kind of issues and, they have all the people who've really thought deeply about the issues for many years on different sides. And then they'll go down the street and just stick a microphone in front of any old person. And, what does that person who stuck the microphone in front of know about this issue unless they happen to randomly be someone who knows a lot about it? They're just going to say what comes off the top of their head. We need to not do that as Christians when it comes to spiritual issues. We need to know where the true answers are to be found. And it's in God's Word. Now, what set me thinking about this was recently someone said to me who had come to church, thank you for welcoming me to your church. Thank you for welcoming me to your church. And partly because of who it was, and I knew them, it got me thinking about, I felt wrong in a sense to be told that this is your church, my church. And they weren't just merely meaning me, they were meaning like the church, the people who come normally. Thank you for welcoming me to your church. And it made me think, you know, that for people out in the community, certainly many of them, the idea in their minds is that this church is for you and not for them. It's for you and not for them. And I want to get down on my knees before someone like that and plead with them. Please, you must not think of the church like that. I want you to think of the church as being your church. I want you to feel that this is for you, this place. This place. No, not this place. Wrong. This people. Because we are the church. So it was quite a revelation to me, in a sense, although I suppose I knew it, but just to have it put to me like that, that out in the community, a lot of people just think, this is your church. It's not my church, it's your church. And they would never think of it being a place that would be for them. So what do they mean when they say this is your church? Well, I suppose they could mean a lot of things. They might mean this is a church for the people who go to it, but it's not for me. Or I think for many people, certainly older folk, who've been in the community for a while, they think this is for the Free Church people in the community. This is for the Free Church people. And, you know, but I'm off the Free Presbyterians, so it's not my church. And that, again, I want to plead with some of that. I want them to think differently about the church. So this is for Free Church people and their families or whatever. No. Or maybe this is for Christians. This gathering, this church gathering. This is for Christians. Is that right? Or is it for whoever wants to come? Or is it even wider than that? Is it for everyone, whether they want to come or not? Who is the church for? Well, first of all, just out of this passage, this chapter, let's see, there's a very clear principle here. The church should never be for ourselves, to please ourselves. We ought not to please ourselves, but each of us should please his neighbour for his good, to build him up. So if we think of the church in any way at all, we must not think of it as being our church for us, because it's not for us as a place in which we can choose what we want that will please us. It's for us to think about how we can please our neighbour. And our neighbour may be the person next to us tonight, but our neighbour may also be, you know, the people of Kyle Terrace, or whoever there is that is not part of our gathering tonight and would not normally be. It's not for us to please ourselves. Paul was someone who understood this very, very deeply. Very deeply. Before I ask about Paul, speak of Paul, are you warm enough? Is anyone kind of like me beginning to sort of lightly toast? Calvin's got his, I wonder if maybe you could put off, someone could put off half of the heaters, please. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. So, Paul was someone who saw this very clearly. And he says this often. So 1 Corinthians 10, verse 33, he says, I tried to please everyone in every way. For I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Now there's something, I wonder if we can say that. Someone else may... Murder, you're the expert on switching. Because I've got one up here. Oh, that's right. That's okay. Thanks, Heather. I mean, anyone, just feel free to get up and just go and have a wee go on the switches. There's 12 switches. You need a degree in electronics to switch them right, and Heather's done it, so she's got the degree. Can we say this ourselves? You know, I tried to please everyone in every way in regard to my Christianity and my church. Paul's not saying he can do that. He's just saying he tries to. He says, because I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. I suppose it's easy for us to kind of take offence, or, you know, just to take a dislike to certain people. And I guess Paul was someone who, more than most, could have had that problem, because he got some very bad treatment indeed. But he says, I'm not like that. I try to please everyone in every way, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. And he even goes on to show that that is how Jesus was. And Jesus did not come into this world in order to please himself. And he quotes the words there in verse 3 from Psalm 69, where David there is feeling that if anyone's got a bad thing to say about God, then they'll take it out on David. Just as Jesus was prepared to be that person who, representing his Father, took the insults and the hostility of the world against God upon himself. He didn't need to do that. Our Saviour, he did not need to do that. But he did do it. He was prepared to do whatever was needed for our benefit and not to please himself. So if there's anything really simple about what we're saying tonight, it's this. Who is this church? Well, it's not for us to please ourselves. It's not for us to say, well, we want it to be this way. And it doesn't really matter what other people they want it to be like, but we want it to be this way. Yeah, it's not for us to do that. You remember that old bumper sticker you used to see on cars? Touch my car and I... Do you remember the rest of it? You don't? No? And I smash out your face. Do you remember that? No? It's not very polite in here, but... And, you know, the idea being, you know, my car, I'm very precious about my car. So just be very careful. Watch the material. Well, it's not for us to be like that with our cars. Obviously, a car in the service of Jesus is just a car. And, you know, if we can do something good with our cars, then we want to do something good with our cars. If we can do something good with the church, we want to do something good with the church. So it's not a case of, you know, touching my church. You know, it's not that kind of place. This is a place for us to try to please others. This is a place for us to try to please our neighbour for their good, as Paul says in verse 2, or as Paul says himself, I'm not seeking my good, but the good of many, so they may be saved. So, what is the church? That's a good question to ask. If you're saying, well, you know, what is this, or who is this church for? What is the church? And Romans, the book of Romans, doesn't actually use the word church at all until it comes to the very last chapter. And in the very last chapter, you find out a little bit about who Paul's writing to. So in chapter 16, I've got a slide here. Paul's greeting lots and lots of people he knows at Rome. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers, which Acts tells us Paul worked very closely with them at times. My fellow workers in Christ Jesus, they risked their lives for me, not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful for them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. So there we get an understanding of what church is. It's not a building, because the house is the building, the house that Priscilla and Aquila have. It's the people. And as Paul's writing from Rome, he's aware that in Rome, this big city, there are lots of people meeting as churches in lots of different houses all over the city, because the Roman Empire, hostile to Christian faith, would not allow or license any church building of this kind for the first 300 years of Christianity. So if anyone goes back and says, we've done this archaeological dig and we found a church building from 100 AD, no. There are no church buildings. We can't imagine that. So like for 300 years, the church didn't have buildings. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the better climate in the Mediterranean, but the church by that stage was all over the place. It was very, very, very widely scattered across Asia and up through Europe and down into Africa. Didn't have buildings, whatever the Roman Empire was anyway. It didn't have buildings. The church was never a building in the thinking of Christians then. It was always people. And here it is, the people that meet at Priscilla and Aquila's house. So, what is the church? The church is people. Paul addresses those people at the beginning of Romans. He says they are loved by God and called to be saints, called to be set apart people for God. It's those kind of people who are loved by God and called to be God's holy people who meet together wherever they can. This is the church. But if we go and actually think on those terms and look at a group of people who are meeting in a house, we know that at any point it's possible that not all of those people are going to be called to be saints yet, because they haven't actually received Jesus yet. So the church technically may have among it people who are not yet Christians, and they're not actually part of the church in that sense that you can't actually see. People in the past, and probably still today, have spoken of the invisible church and the visible church. The visible church is people you see here tonight. The invisible church is in the community. It's those who have received Jesus and call him Lord and follow him. And, I hope all of you do that here tonight. But if there's anyone that doesn't, then, the church is those who do follow Jesus. And so that means there are people outside of this building and who haven't been to church, to a church building, or into a church gathering today, and maybe never go to church gathering. Perhaps there's quite a lot of people like that, especially since COVID, and with the church history that we've had locally, who may well be Christians. So that's the invisible church. The church is really those who follow Jesus. And of course, everyone should be meeting together because it's a very, very basic reality of the Christian faith that we do meet together. In fact, it's one of the most central things. If you want to find out some of the Christian in the New Testament, then you're going to look to say, one of the questions, where do they worship with? And who do they worship with? Because the New Testament is constantly telling us about what we must do with one another. If you want a nice study to keep you going for a couple of months, look at all the times the words translated one another occur in the New Testament, especially in the letters, one another. And you can't do one another things if you're not getting together with one another. So greet one another with a holy kiss. Love one another, Jesus says. Accept one another, as Paul says here in verse 7. carry one another's burdens. Forgive one another. Bear with one another. Teach one another. Encourage one another. The church is a family. And so you expect to see those who are loved by God and called to be saints meeting together, physically present with one another. And what are they doing there? Well, again, probably the most important verse about this is the one from the start of the church on the day of Pentecost and just following. It says, what do these people do? They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. This is what Christians do. This is what God's people do. And these are things you have to do together. You know, back in those days, you couldn't listen to Peter on a podcast. Back in those days, you wanted the apostles' teaching, you had to go to where the apostle was. And if you wanted fellowship, well, you need to get together with people. If you want to break bread with them, you need to be with them. If you want to pray with them, and literally the word there is to the prayers, meaning the prayers that were held in the temple. If you want to be praying with people, you've got to get together with them. This is the picture. And so the church is for people who are loved by God and called to be saints, to be the holy people of God, to get together to do these kinds of things. And this is really something that we need to keep before us all the time. I was reading a very encouraging report this week. I'm sure many of you saw it on the Free Church website, of the Tain and Fern Free Church and ordaining new elders and new deacons and receiving new members. And you know, it was a really encouraging report, and I was enjoying reading it. And Alistair McCauley, the minister, said, you know, we were decimated by COVID. And I was thinking, okay. So there were a lot of people going to church in that fellowship before COVID who just didn't reappear after COVID, but then things are picking up again. What happened to these people? And what was going on with them that they stopped devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer? So the church is, who is the church for? Well, it's for getting together with others who want to do this. That is who the church of Jesus Christ is for. Now, does that mean then that we shut out those who aren't Christians? Well, again, we go to the New Testament for our guidance. I haven't got this on a slide, but 1 Corinthians 14 and verses 23 to 25. Paul's speaking about the gifts of the Spirit. He says, if the whole church comes together, so there's a togetherness, the church meeting in someone's house, coming together, and everyone speaks in tongues. And then he says, and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you're out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or inquirer comes in to the church together, while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin, and they are brought under judgment by all. The secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. So in Paul's picture there, the doors are open in the church. And so the Christian gathering is never so weird or clannish, or has never got sort of strange practices, so that people who are not already the Christians feel they just can't come in. Because there's two classes of people there. He mentions the inquirers and he mentions the unbelievers. Who are they? Well, unbelievers, I guess, is plain enough. It's just those who haven't yet believed in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And Paul says, you know, these people may come into your church. And the inquirers is a word that means those who, you know, believe there's something in what's going on in this place, but they haven't yet kind of come into an understanding of them. And Paul says the door's open for these people. So people who are not yet God's holy people, God's people who know God as Father and Jesus as Savior, they can still come. And the church must be thinking about them as neighbours too. The church must be thinking about not just pleasing ourselves as Christians, but we must be thinking about those who are not. Now in the past, of course, we're all familiar with the fact that the church often had a great deal more of those who profess not to be believers than of those who profess to be believers, because the membership of churches often was a fraction of the number of people actually coming to church. And so the church then in those days was seen as the place for evangelism. So you would get preachers and, you know, they would come and they would proclaim the gospel, often very powerfully. Services of great power, people would be converted in the services. Now we're obviously not in that day and age today. It's just not really the way it's happening in Kyle or in Scotland, many places today. People only come to church if there's some very compelling reason for them to do so. They're not in the habit of going to church generally, unless they've either been in the habit for a long time or they've got a newfound Christian conviction that's bringing them there. But we must always think of the church as being a place where we want anyone to come in and we want them to feel that we're thinking about them when they do, and that therefore we're accommodating them. So that I have to do that. So if there's a group of people coming in, I need to think, well, maybe they won't understand if I try and be too specialised or complicated in the language I use. Maybe they just won't know what's going on, and they'll need to know when they need to stand or when they need to sit or whatever. There's certain kinds of services, I guess, that we're more aware of that, like funerals, whatever. But we need to think about the people outside. The church is for them. They are among the neighbours that Paul speaks about here, that we should be seeking to please for his good, to build them up. So, who is this church for? It's maybe much the same as who's Jesus for. And Jesus is for Christians, obviously. But he's not just for Christians. For those we hope will become Christians. So everyone. The church is for everyone. Now you've sometimes heard it said, probably, you know, things like, the church is the only organization that exists for the benefit of the people outside of it. Have you heard that? Quite often said. I'm not quite sure about that statement. It's not a Bible statement, but it's almost like saying it's not for the people that are in it. Well, it is for the people that are in it. The church is also for the people outside. Of course, there's probably lots of other organizations that are like that too that aren't the church, that exist to benefit the people outside. I mean, any kind of healthcare is like that, really, isn't it? Emergency services. So it's not a great statement. And so we need to think differently to that. We need to think really what Paul's saying here. That when I'm here not to please myself, but I'm here to please my neighbour, to do them good, and to build them up. And so who is the church for? It's for my neighbour. Who is my neighbour? Well, it might be someone here, but it might also equally be someone that's not here. Church, in other words, as one particular movement in Scotland recently has been called the Church Without Walls. The sense that, you know, the church does have to think very much about the whole community. The church is for the whole community. And so that means that we mustn't think then that we're just sitting here waiting for everyone to come in. It'll be very welcoming to them if they do. We do also need to be out with them, sharing our Jesus with them too. And we want them to feel that it's really very easy for them to step from the pavement into this building and be among us, that really it's not that big a step. It's not a really weird thing to do. So, we may come across the attitude of people, you know, that the church is for you and not for me. But we should never think this church is for me and not for you out there. We must never do that. And so we have to have a perception that is thinking always, you know, we are here not to please ourselves, not to think of this as our church, but we're here to please others and to think of this as their church too. So who is this church for? Really, it's for everyone. And I know it's difficult, but if you and I could come to our meetings thinking, everyone in the community could be here today, and that would be fine, and that would be great, then that would help us to have a different perception of church. Now, we've obviously done some things recently to try and help with that perception in the community. I mean, just think of times as Billy's been available, whether it's for, you know, the Healing Hurting Hearts course, perhaps, but I guess the photographic exhibition was a great example of that sense of this is for everyone. You know, this is not just some kind of building which is where the Free Church people do their thing. This is just for everyone. And we want you in here with us. We want to please our neighbour for their good. Some of you will know that the Plockton Church at the moment has been used by Plockton Primary because of the fact they can't use their hall at the moment because it's not fit for habitation. So they're using the church building for assemblies at the moment. I went down on Friday to an assembly and I sweated, first of all. I sweated a lot because the whole, I discovered, I didn't realise it was their harvest assembly for all the parents as well and anyone else who wanted to come. So the whole school was done, and all the teachers, all the pupils, I don't know how many, it was about 50 of them, and then parents and grannies and all the rest. And I was just happened to turn up, as it were, and we couldn't open the key safe. Couldn't open it. And I'm, of course, I'm the minister, so I'm supposed to know how to get into my own building, as it were. So I'm standing there at the key safe, and I'm just saying, Lord, please, please. And I gave the clear button one really extra hard push, and it suddenly went, whew. And I was able to put the combination key in and open the door. Everyone got in, and all was happy. But it was great to have that sense, you know, of coming together with people. Okay, so it's a primary school event, not a church event. But just that sense that people can think, this is for us. This is our place. And we've had some use of it by the music school in Plockton as well, for recordings and so on. Just so that, you know, anything that we can do of that kind to help to enable people in our community to think, no, that's not just for them. It's for me too. And just to break down any walls, or fences, or even small steps, until it's just level ground for people. And it is literally level ground. You can walk straight into the church. We've made it as accessible as possible in terms of mobility. But we want it to be like that in people's hearts as well. We want the community to think, this is our church. This is where we come. We sometimes come. We might come. Even if we don't come, we know that we can come and we'll be welcome if we do come. And that is all came out of me just being told, thank you for welcoming me to your church. Because it's not my church and it's not your church. It's everyone's church. And everyone needs Jesus. And we need Jesus. Hopefully we've received Jesus. And so we know who Jesus is, and we can tell people outside who Jesus is, encourage them to receive him and to come into the fellowship of the church, where there is the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, prayer, and the fellowship. But we know it's for the people outside as well. It's for everyone. It's for everyone in our community, tourists, visitors, anyone at all who might happen to come in. And we would be seeking to please them if they did, and not ourselves. So, who is this church for? It's for everyone. And you know, if you catch someone saying, this is your church, just say, why do you say that? Why do you say it's my church? Well, it's your church. You go to... Well, I want you to know it's your church too. You can come as well. You know that old sort of poster that people put in their churches? I was thinking, trying to make up one myself there, just preparing this. Yeah. With the two letters CH, followed by two blanks, and then the two letters CH again. CH, blank, blank, CH. And the question, what's missing from this? Come across that one before? You are. So simple. But that's how we've got to think. This is for everyone. And we want, if anyone comes, we'll be thinking about their good, what's good for them when they do. And we want to be out there as well, trying to change the perception so that people will think, okay, so I can come. It's my church too. It's for me also. Amen. Yes, it is. Let's pray together. So Lord, please help us to not to propagate the false perception out in the community that this is a church for a certain little group of people. But help us, Lord, to have in our hearts that we're here to please others and we want them to come. And this is for them too. And so, Lord, we pray that you will bring people, Lord, and at the same time that we will go to people, and that we will be where they are, and that we will be the church in their context, loving them, praying for them, and hopefully sharing something of the goodness of Jesus with them. Hear our prayers for Jesus' sake.